listening to the Franchise Podcast Network, presented by Lucky Star Casino. KRXO FM and KRXO HD Oklahoma City, a product of Tyler Media, reaching over 1 million Oklahomans every week. Now, the Outdoor Hour, giving you the inside scoop on the great outdoors on 107.7 The Franchise.
As long as I can remember, I've been drawn to the outdoors. There's something primal in each of us that awakens when we step outside the bounds of modern society and back into the vast possibilities of the natural world. The more civilized our lives become, the louder our hearts cry for reconnection with our native ways. Failure is imminent, dangers drawing nigh, but approached with reverence and tact, the outdoors return wisdom and gain. In both the outdoors and in life, harvests are fleeting, but lessons and memories abound. With that in mind, we step forth boldly together in pursuit of ourselves outdoors. We are nothing more than tree stand troubadours.
Heidi ho, and welcome inside the Outdoor Hour. You thought I wasn't going to do it.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I am so scared right now.
You just got to go with it, man.
I don't want to do this.
Yes, you do.
No. Before we get into any of that,
Delaying.
I'm just putting off the inevitable. Ignorance is bliss. Isn't that a thing? They say that. Hey, I went camping this weekend.
Oh, I love that.
Before we get into anything too much, I went camping with my parents this weekend.
I noticed that.
First time in 14 years we figured out that I've been out camping and fishing with my parents. That was really cool.
That's super awesome.
Shout out to Grammy, Tammy, and Pop Pop, as they are now known in our household.
Did you catch anything?
Listen.
That's why they call it fishing, not catching, right?
Yeah. What I'm embarrassed to admit, but I promised her I would, is that my mother is
outfished you hard.
Fly fishing queen of the Maples household. She caught a 19-inch brown on a streamer at night, her first night out with me. And then right at dusk on the second night, pulled out like a 16-inch rainbow that was really neat on the same streamer. So shout out to Pop Pop, my dad, for both of the fish we caught this weekend were on a streamer that he tied himself, which is always cool. And shout out to Grammy Tammy, my mom, for being the one to land both of those fish.
That's so awesome. I love that.
I did tie into a brown in a cool spot on the second night, and my blood knot gave out. I fought him for about 5 seconds.
That's crazy.
Enough to know that I had him hooked, you know, good strip set, but then snapped him off and pulled in. And I had a suspect setup to begin with.
Super sus.
I don't think I had the right tippet for the size of leader I had on. Anyways, sure enough,
stuff happens.
I lost it,
learning experience. Well, who are you?
Man, do we have to do this?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We've got a great guest. Can we just start with him?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but we're coming back to you.
Let's do this the right way. I am so scared. This is the Outdoor Hour. I'm Taylor Maples. I just shot a bear.
I literally sat and laughed at that for like 30 minutes last night, I made it. It is so good.
Hit it again.
Okay.
I'm Taylor Maples. I just shot a bear. I don't even know what that is.
That's you from an episode.
I know. I know it's my voice, but what is the...
Michael Jackson.
It's okay. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Me and him were talking a couple weeks ago. There's like a supercut video of every like vocal grunt Michael Jackson has ever done.
Oh, my God.
And it's hours long.
It's hours long. Like 18 hours. But there's like a condensed one that's 3 minutes, and it is literally one of my favorite things in the world. But I just had to cook that one up.
You know, I actually kind of love it.
How could you not?
For as nervous. I literally driving in today to the office, I was like, oh, no. I wonder what they've got cooked up today. So that's good. Maddie, I appreciate you. Thanks for spending that time on that.
Yeah, no problem.
Across the table from me here is Joshua Wildman Stratton.
Hello, I'm a piece of garbage.
As always.
As always. Charged into my office in the middle of a meeting today.
Don't have your door open.
Just to grab my 3-month-old deer jerky off
my
desk.
Let you guys know next week how this turns out.
He is
It's not looking good.
No.
No. There's been a couple of bites where I'm like, you could call that fermented.
Acquired taste.
Notice he hasn't stopped pounding it, though.
No.
Behind the glass, as always, Matty Goldfish. And our special guest this week from Oklahoma Fungi is Jacob DeVecchio. What's
hey,
up,
how's
man?
It going? Thank you so much.
Yes. Much love.
Much love. You brought in some stickers here that say much love. I love this, dude.
Yeah, it's a great way to kind of get people excited about mushrooms, to get them to understand. It's all about mushroom love. It's all about what mushrooms do for us, what they do for the earth, and we're just trying to spread it around.
So I will be completely honest with you. We, at the end of most of our episodes, say something like, hey, if you're interested in coming on the show, you know, if you've got a story to tell, anything like that, reach out, let us know. And we've had a handful of people do that over the couple of years that we've been doing this, but I know absolutely nothing about mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you've got 23,000 followers on Instagram. So clearly this is something people have an interest in.
Yeah, it's super. I mean, when he was like, hey, this guy wants to go. I'm like, yeah. And I didn't even know what you were up to or your reach or like, oh, this guy's a legitimate business model. I get a text. It's like, hey, this mushroom expert wants to come on the show. I was like, yeah, let's go. And we had just had a conversation recently about like foraging knowledge and skills. And like, I think Taylor and I were just like talking. It wasn't on air. I think you and I were just having a conversation. I was like, man, that's an area, like a super weakness for me that I would love to learn more about and, you know, add that to my outdoor experiences. And, you know, they call it morel hunting, right? Like, I mean, they use this similar language. You have to use a lot of the same similar skill sets, I think, to identify and find morels as you do being successful, particularly like in stock hunts, you know, but it's completely different in the sense of it's just this wonderful time of the year. It's, you know, really all experiences are in, you're like all of your senses are engaged and, and again, you're finding a resource that can bring nutrients to your family. So I'm super stoked to have you here.
Here's what I know about mushrooms. There are some.
You can't. This is a family friendly show.
Family friendly show. Yeah. There are some that you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that will literally kill you. And there are some that are extremely psychedelic.
Or you could say some that will give you rebirth.
So I classify them as there's four categories.
Okay.
There's the edible.
Yep.
The poisonous, the non-edible slash we don't really know what if they have medicinal value or if they are edible or if they're poisonous. And no one's really lining up to figure out what these mushrooms do. And so the last category is the psychoactive mushrooms. So
psychoactive.
There's still a lot, hundreds of thousands of species that we're unsure of if they're actually what properties they have. And there's not a lot of scientists who are willing to try them out to say, oh, yeah, this one's, you know, could be slightly poisonous if eaten in larger doses or something like that. Everything's done through analytical chemistry, which takes a long time and a lot of money. So for now, mushrooms remain largely understudied.
Okay. When we said mushroom expert, we found the guy.
Oh, 100%. What do you know? And again, idiot in the room, okay? But I have seen people plug in devices to capture the sounds of mushrooms.
Plant wave.
Bro, that is far out.
Unpack this for me. What?
So there's a device that's called PlantWave.
Okay.
And you can actually plug in this device. Basically, it has these two prongs. You can plug them into your plants, into the soil. You can attach them to the leaves, to the stem. Then you can also apply it to mushrooms. And what it allows you to do is hear the sounds, the vibrations, the frequencies that these organisms are putting off. So when you and I are touching, we create one frequency. But when we let go, it creates a totally different frequency. And so what we're finding is that mushrooms and plants and animals and humans, we're all emitting these different frequencies, but they're not noticeable to us per se, but they are noticeable on a different auditory plane. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. Well, man, when we were talking pre-show, you mentioned your festival it being morel season, a lot of things that you were excited about. Man, why not? I think it'd just be outstanding to hear, like, how'd you get down this road? How'd you end up being the fun guy? And then what does that look like now? And how can, you know, people who are interested in the outdoors start integrating into the cool culture you've created?
Yeah, well, I wasn't always the mushroom guy. I didn't know who the mushroom guy was. Growing up, I was going to private Catholic school, so from pre-K all the way through high school.
Big ups to Bishop McGinnis. I know that's not where you went, but go Irish.
So
that's where I went, so I just had to plug that in.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
And so going to school, I actually didn't learn much about mushrooms. My family didn't eat mushrooms. We didn't forage mushrooms. We spent lots of time camping, backpacking, playing all different types of sports, but we weren't into wild food foraging. And so it wasn't until college that a professor had mentioned kind of roughly in our microbiology class that over the course of the 18 weeks, we'd be studying all these different groups of organisms, but only two of the weeks would be over fungi, and then only two of the days would be over mushrooms themselves. And so not all fungi are mushrooms. And so there are some fungi that don't even produce a stem and a cap, like a truffle. Have you heard of truffles? Those, you know, we don't consider them mushrooms because they have a different shape, but, you know, technically they're all fungi.
So I need to back up. You're saying fungi, and I've been saying fungi. Am I wrong?
No, it's actually what I like to do, because it's a way to show that you can say both. There's the academic world, they'll try and tell you that there's a Latin that you have to say this the correct way. No one speaks Latin anymore, so I kind of just roll my shoulders, roll my eyes, and
yeah.
It's all about getting people interested. So if I say, "Hey, everyone, it's Oklahoma Fun Guy," they think I'm more excited. I'm a fun guy.
Yeah.
And then they realize, oh my gosh, he's into mushrooms. So sometimes it's more about getting people enthusiastic without trying to be so, oh, you have to say it like this, or oh, this is what I mean.
We talk about this in the outdoor community all the time, whether you're looking at backpacking or kayaking or big game hunting. There's always a level of like exclusion,
mm-hmm.
Where people are like, well, I'm into this, but at a level different than you are. And I could see that kind of being the thing in this world.
The vernacular can be incredibly limiting, right? It happens in our space all the time from the hunt and fish side of things, where and really on the conservation side of things, where we have this whole dialect of science-based conversations that can be really limiting in people's accessibility to that information or to that community. And I love how you're aware of that and using it to your benefit. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, so I'm the oldest of six siblings. And so,
dang.
Yeah, and so
youngest of six.
We all learn differently, all my siblings and I learn differently. And so one thing that I try and promote as an educator is to provide education in different ways to reach a greater audience. And so by, you know, telling everyone, oh, you have to say it like this and do it exactly like this, there's going to be a lot of people who hear that and say, oh, I'm doing exactly the opposite. That's what my younger brother did. And so for me, I know that there's a lot of different ways for people to learn, and I try and appease them and teach them in a way that's most acceptable and accessible to them. And so college was the way that I got introduced into kingdom fungi. And so before that, I wasn't foraging, wasn't eating mushrooms, didn't know anything about morel mushrooms. And so in 2017, I actually came across a YouTube video. And this is a video of Paul Stamets, and it's How Mushrooms Can Save the World. So he talks about all the different applications, commercial scale, and agriculture that you can use fungi. And I found it really interesting, and I wanted to start learning more. But at the time, I was working for a soil analytical lab. So I was studying soil, water quality, petrochemicals. I was also studying seed viability, doing heavy metals testing, yeast and mold, and one thing that I became really fascinated with was soil science, the quality of our soil, what's in our soil, the nutrient density of the food that we're eating, because that's just as important, because what's in our soil ultimately ends up in us through the food that we eat. Fortunately, though, that company closed down in 2020, like many did due to COVID, and that was when I decided to take this entrepreneurial step in to start Oklahoma Fungi. So Oklahoma Fungi, the company, the education and mushroom supply side, was started in 2020. And in 2023, last year, was our first ever Oklahoma Mushroom Festival.
Nice. And you said that was super well attended.
Yes, we had 1,776 total attendees.
Nice.
With 12 different states represented. We had 10 different educators, 10 different workshop leaders. This year, we're going to the state fairgrounds. It's going to be even bigger.
Yeah.
17,000 square feet indoor space. And, yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about it maybe later.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
So while you guys have been talking, I pulled up this plant wave thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen this before?
Yes, bro.
Okay.
Have you heard of the mushroom church that they use this at?
No.
They did a mushroom church, like a ceremony where they just plugged in the plants and the mushrooms, and they filled the whole church, and the sounds of it echoing through the church just sounds so peaceful and amazing.
So, I mean nothing disrespectful about this statement, but when you start down this road, it seems so, what was the word you used, psychoactive? Like, just the thought of that is so far out there. But wait till you hear this. Like, I would attend a church service with this at the end of the, you know, pastors wrapping it up, driving the point home. Instead of the keys playing, you end up with something like this.
Yeah, bro.
Is that real? That's what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Mother Nature's beautiful.
That's a mushroom with basically electrodes attached to it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Run into basically a synth.
Unbelievable. And that's an ad on YouTube. So there we go. That's fascinating, man.
Yeah, it's far out.
Yeah, and
it's
so...
how you can... yeah.
I was just going to say, but the reason really in Oklahoma, or the reason I started Oklahoma Fungi in 2020... instead of just getting interested in joining a group and just going foraging, is because we don't have a large mushroom foraging outdoor education community for mushrooms in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so before I started the company, there was the Oklahoma Native Plant Society that had a mushroom chapter. Well, mushrooms technically aren't plants.
Right.
So a majority of the places, the societies, there'd be a mycological society and there'd be a plant society. And so in 2020, around the same time that I started Oklahoma Fungi, a group in Tulsa started the Oklahoma Mycological Society. And so right now, majority of the stuff that they do is online-based. So you can Zoom in once a month on Mondays. I believe it's the first Monday of the month. And you can listen to a speaker and talk with some other people. I'm not sure how many in-person classes and stuff that they offer. But for me, the way that I learn is in-person. I need to be shown. I need to be walked through. I need to be educated. And I need to see people's expression and their excitement. And so that's really why I started offering these in-person education classes. And so, so far, over the past 4 years, I've taught over 1,500 people how to grow mushrooms, how to forage. And that's not including the same numbers from the people who attended the Mushroom Festival.
So my introduction to like the healing attributes of mushrooms, you know, and there's a laundry list of them that help in different ways. When I was in Florida, I was looking for a place to live outside of town but close to campus so that I could get to and, you know, to class and whatnot. And I hear about this guy. He's got a piece, he's got like 10 lots. No, that's not true. Five houses, and they are all on acreage. And you know, a couple of them for rent, and it was on this lake, and I was like, man, this is right up my alley. Like, I can walk to go fish. He's got a house for rent. It's on 10 acres. It was super reasonably priced, so I go and meet with the guy. And the dude has no electricity in his house and wood-burning stove, and he was drinking tea when I go to his house to meet him. And he's like, would you like some mushroom tea? And part of his daily regimen every day, he would drink turkey tail mushroom tea. And the house next to the one that I ended up renting, he had rented out to a guy who just grew mushrooms. And so I had this opportunity through these two individuals that, you know, I had acquaintance with over a period of time to like learn about. And I still know very little, but it was this super interesting. And when you look at a variety of other cultures and how they utilize mushrooms for healing properties in their life and the variety of them that are there, and to the fact of like science backing this now, this isn't just like some hocus pocus. This is real stuff and real natural healing elements in these mushrooms. And man, it is a really interesting world.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It really is, and that's honestly, turkey tail is one of the most common, most well-known medicinal mushrooms.
Yep.
And so when I say medicinal mushrooms, I don't mean the psychoactive mushrooms only. I mean medicinal mushrooms. They have medicinal properties. And so turkey tail being one of the most common ones because it's found almost everywhere.
Yep.
Especially here in Oklahoma, we're very heavy oak. And so you can find turkey tail growing all throughout the year in the spring, summer, fall, winter, dead of winter, you can go out and find it. And so it's a mushroom that does have a lookalike. So there's the turkey tail and there's the false turkey tail. So the false turkey tail, if you make a tea out of it, most of the time it's not poisonous, but there's moss and algae that can grow on it, and that can cause a little bit of GI upset. So typically what we recommend when it comes to turkey tail is to make sure you're identifying correctly that it's turkey tail. And by doing that, you flip over the underside of the mushroom and you can look at the surface. And what we look for is pores, which pores are little tiny circles. And so these little tiny circles are what show that this is the species we're looking for, whereas the false turkey tail is very smooth on the underside and has no pores.
And often more yellow. It looks like...
And more proliferant. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's solid. It, but yeah. And so I didn't know you could grow, like, I didn't know that, right? And like one day I'm in my backyard with my dog and I look over and for the first like week, I just saw all these tarps covering stuff. And I'm like, what is this dude doing back here? Like, we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like, do I need to be worried? Like, what's this guy got going on back here? And, he was pulling tarps off and there were stacks of logs. And I was like, all right, I got to go figure out what this guy's doing. And I go over there, and well, it turns out I knew the guy, but I just didn't know. He didn't live there. He just rented the house to grow mushrooms. So I never saw him. So, like, the whole thing was weird because he would, like, come at night or, like, I for basically a month, we would always miss each other. And I'm like, oh, wait, I know that dude. And, yeah, you know, he had spores and, you know, that were turned into plugs, and he was drilling holes in all these different logs and keeping them moist and keeping it humid. And, you know, you can imagine growing mushrooms in Florida is pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm headed to Florida in a week, so I'm really excited to get out there and go foraging just outside Orlando.
Yeah.
We got to squeeze in a break. I'm so fascinated by this, and I'm so glad that you're here because I've got a lot of questions. So when we come back, we'll have more with Jacob DeVecchio from Oklahoma Fungi. Oklahoma Fungi. I'm going to start saying it both ways now. More ahead inside the Outdoor Hour on 107.7 The Franchise.
You're listening to The Outdoor Hour with your host Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside The Outdoor Hour. Taylor Maples, Joshua Wildman Stratton, Maddie Goldfish, and joining us this week, Jacob DeVecchio from Oklahoma Fungi. Man, I am so captivated by this, not only because it's something I know very, very little about, but is a growing interest in the outdoor community. But it's also evident just in the 20 minutes we've spent together so far how much you know about this and how passionate and how well-spoken you are. So we're glad you're here this week, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to help spread the idea of mushroom foraging out further to people who are already out in the forest. I think it's really important to... If you're already out there, whether it's turkey season,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
yeah,
turkey hunting season. So if you're already out there in the forest, check it out. We can teach you a little bit more about mushrooms. And while you're out there, you can collect some of these mushrooms, go back and have a great dinner and get excited about the upcoming season.
So that's a really good point. Turkey season is coming up here in just a couple of weeks here in Oklahoma. I know a lot of people that are in that community are already out foraging or at least going out and scouting for birds. There's crossover there, right? So it's easy when you're in those places. I have never been morel hunting. I've seen pictures of them. Mm-hmm. I saw a picture this week. I had no idea how big these things can be. Are they all that big, for starters?
So in Oklahoma, we're in this kind of region, the Great Plains region. Oklahoma's known to have some of the larger morel mushrooms. And
okay.
So there's a lot in Michigan. There's really large morel mushrooms, but I've been around to a bunch of different morel mushroom festivals, so there's mm-hmm. entire events that are all about this one mushroom. When everyone meets up, there's education, then you go out foraging together, and I've seen mushrooms taller than water bottles, and the mushroom that I showed you earlier on my phone, that was a mushroom that was found in Oklahoma County.
Wow.
So that's in the central part of the state, not even in the southeastern part where you get larger forests, a lot more water, a lot more accessibility to shade and humidity. And so Oklahoma is really, really a great place to get out and go mushroom foraging. And if you're already out there hunting, I mean, you're in the best place that you could possibly be.
It's hard to beat wild turkey with a side of wild mushroom.
So that was my next question, is what is it about morels?
So two things, really. One, you can't cultivate them. So that's what makes them, they're like a truffle. So if you think about when you hear about, oh, truffles, they're expensive, they're hard to get, and you can't cultivate them. And so morels are the same thing. There's no one in Oklahoma, there's no commercial farm that I even know of in the U.S. The largest exporters in the world are South Korea, Japan, China, and then coming up fourth is Denmark. And so these companies are actually figuring out ways to grow different species of morels. So these different species can be cultivated, but the ones that grow here in Oklahoma, the Morchella americana, the yellow morel, hasn't yet been able to be artificially cultivated. So if that does happen, whoever figures that out, and I implore listeners, if you figure this out, you will be a millionaire, guaranteed. Think about how much money every year is exchanged over these mushrooms, and you could help with the supply.
What is it about those specific mushrooms, though? What do people do with them? Obviously, they eat them.
Yeah, so morels, because of the exclusivity of having to go out and find them, typically it's a reward, right? So it's kind of like the journey makes the reward greater. And so for people who go out and forage like myself, when you go out there and you find these, it makes the meal a lot more satisfying. But aside from that, it was a business opportunity for me because I can actually go out into the forest, spend a couple hours and come out and sell each one of these pounds at $40 and then come home with a nice hefty pocket of cash and go back out the next day. And so there's a small season where people such as myself are interested in eating them. I'm also interested in trying to forage and share and make a little bit of money if I can. But a lot of chefs are really interested in this mushroom because of the culinary aspect. So it's a mushroom that's hollow. So you can almost make a nature's mozzarella stick, if you will, because you can fill it. And then you can batter it, and then you can fry it. And so when you pull it apart, it's a mushroom on the outside, the crispy fried outside mushroom, and then on the inside is your filling. And so these mushrooms have a really great taste. Not only are they great fresh, but you can actually dehydrate them. You can powderize them and add them into salt, which is really great. Or you can just dehydrate them, store them for later, preferably with a desiccant, something that's removing oxygen, or in a vacuum sealed bag. And then to reconstitute them, all you need to do is boil it in water for 10 minutes, and you cook them exactly the same as you would have if they were fresh.
He said, and I can't even come up with a word now, mozzarella.
Yeah.
And that wasn't just a stutter. That was intentional. I like that. That's cool, man. I feel like I've missed the boat on this.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's never too late to get into it, right? Like, that's part of why you're here, is you want to educate people and help people like me that have heard of this stuff, but it's never really taken enough of my attention to be worth going out and looking. I want to go try it now.
Yeah, and there are some Facebook groups outside of his, you know, for Oklahoma, particularly on the morel thing. Not as much. I feel like that's the only one that gets a whole lot of attention, but, like, you know, let's see.
It's really the only mushroom that's shown love here in our region. There's not all the other mushrooms. When you talk about mushrooms, they're either going to be the deadly ones or the psychoactive ones.
Yeah.
And unless you're talking about morels, no one really cares.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed. But, you know, there's conversations on Backcountry Hunters and Anglers pages of people talking about this, like Oklahoma Hunters, a variety of them. You know, I would say that hunters in a percentage of demographic of Oklahomans, particularly those who are public land hunters, are all very familiar with morels. It's part of their seasonal practice of harvesting nutrients for their family. But yeah, it's like morel season comes or begins, and you know that turkey's right around the corner, and you go and you stock your pantry with morels as you're doing some preseason looking and scouting for turkey season. And I do have to ask you, you came in here with a pretty wild hat, and I want to know, is that hat made out of mushroom leather?
Yes, it is. So this is a mushroom called amadou, and this is a mushroom that 5,300 years ago, one of the earliest humans, Ötzi the Iceman, was found frozen in a glacier in the Italian Alps with this same mushroom made as a satchel. He also had another mushroom, which is now known as chaga. And so, yeah.
Taylor's mind right now is exploding.
So, right now, for me to have the hat is a symbolism for the mushroom and its applications for thousands of years for humans. And also, it's a really epic hat because it looks like it's leather kind of suede, and it's so soft. And if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see that I always wear it. And it's just, it's really great because every time that I wear it, it kind of changes. It kind of adds like a patina, if you will, to the hat.
Yeah,
for
sure. Yeah.
Since you mentioned it, go ahead and plug your social media as he grabs the hat.
On Instagram, it's at Oklahoma Fun Guy, FUNGI. On Facebook, it's going to be the same thing. Same thing for TikTok, same thing for YouTube and Patreon. The hat that I'm holding, you won't be able to see now as you're listening, but it does have an oak leaf on the front of it. And so that's incredibly important because this is where you can find the mushroom growing. And so the hat not only is
that,
made...
That specific species or... what do you call a variance of mushrooms?
So this is a Fomes phonopsis mushroom, but we just call it amadou.
Okay.
And so this amadou, I'm not sure the specific type of oak that it can be found on, but this hat came from Romania.
Oh, wow.
And so it took about 2.5 months to get shipped from Romania. And so there's a small group of villagers there. And there's four different people, all within the ages of 35 and 74, that there's only four people left in the village that know how to create crafts like this. And so you can see on the top of it that when it rains, it actually leaves little imprints of the rain. And so it's incredibly sensitive to water. And when it does get really wet, it can attract bugs. So I try and keep it from getting wet. And it's also really, really flammable. And so this is the reason that the scientists speculate that Ötzi the Iceman 5,300 years ago had it on him because of the use of fire. And so there's a lot of different applications of this mushroom. Unfortunately, in the United States, it does grow here, but unfortunately, there's no one that's doing this.
No one has the skills.
The ancestral knowledge has been lost here, for sure.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I want to see this thing.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. And for me, when I saw that Paul Samets video that he came out with, and he's talking about how mushrooms can save the world, he's actually wearing a hat. It's an amadou hat. When I saw that, I've never seen a hat like that before. And 2 years ago, I asked my wife for a birthday present, and that's what showed up at the door. So it's the best thing ever. I'm really grateful, and I wear it at all my mushroom events. I have a mushroom, how to grow mushrooms class this weekend. I'll be teaching people how to cultivate.
And where do you teach those?
So this will be at Organics OKC Garden Supply in Oklahoma City from 3 to 5 p.m. It's a free class. You don't have to register. Just show up, bring a chair. Just in case you're late, there won't be space. And Sunday is actually the third annual Morel Mushroom Education class. So this is a two-hour class that is in-depth Morel mushrooms, what you can find, how to cook them, how you can try to cultivate them, the companies that are. And that's actually in partnership with the Married Botanical Gardens. So we'll be down there at the Terrace Room from 1 to 3 on Sunday.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. I hope you fill the room. I'm sure you will.
I will be in Idaho planting sagebrush
last year
this weekend. You'll be teaching mushrooms. I'll be planting sagebrush.
Last year...
Yeah, I was going to say, last year we had 112 people.
Okay.
This is... The Morel mushroom class is our number one class of the year.
Yeah.
And so this year I'm expecting to see about 100 people. And typically I'll bring some fresh morels. I'll try and bring some of the false morels that I can. And we'll get into that maybe after a break or something.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of different species of morels. And not every morel that you find you want to eat. Some of them are different species and need to be prepped in different ways. So that's something important to keep in mind.
How do people know? What's the difference?
So the characteristics. So when you look at the mushroom, depending on how the top of the mushroom looks and the what we consider the cap and the stem. And so morels are really easy to identify when it comes to the Morchella americana, the yellow morel, the morel that we're all really familiar with, because you cut it right down the center, and from the top of the mushroom all the way down to the bottom, it's hollow. And so this is really important because then you know that there's no bugs inside. So when you're cleaning your mushrooms, you know that there's no bugs. Or if you want some extra protein, no problem. You don't have to clean them. I know a lot of foragers who just don't clean and just cut them and cook them right after that. So, but you always want to cook your mushrooms because when they're wild foraged, they have bacteria, yeast, and other organisms, tiny microbes that are on these mushrooms that need to be cooked to make sure they don't upset you. So even the edible mushrooms need to be cooked.
So it sounds like at least regionally here, morels get quite a bit of attention from people that are out there. Locally, regionally, nationally, what are some of the other types of mushrooms that people need to pay more attention to?
So right now, when you see these morel mushrooms growing on the ground, you might also come across chanterelles. And so turkey hunting season is just right at the beginning of chanterelle hunting season. And so a chanterelle is a yellow to orange to even reddish mushroom. And so it doesn't look like the typical mushroom with a stem and a cap. It has what we call decurrent gills. So its gills look like veins on the underside of the mushroom. And it's really fascinating. And if you look up a picture of what that looks like, I'm sure you'll be amazed. But these mushrooms are very delicious. And I recently had a candied chanterelle almond ice cream. And so it was amazing. And so one thing I implore people to get out and do is when you're already out into the forest, reach out to me or look up online the mushrooms that you can find in this season. Unfortunately, Oklahoma doesn't have an official mushroom guide. I'm in the process of writing our first guide, which is great, and I'm really excited. But for everyone who wants to learn right now, I haven't yet released the rough draft. So stay tuned. And this year, along with the Mushroom Festival, we'll have the first Oklahoma mushroom guide.
That's so cool, man.
What a resource, man. Like, I applaud you on the commitment you've made to being a source of knowledge on this. Like, we have a lot of people on this show, and, you know, I'm always thrilled by people who have gone just the absolute extra mile and have this insane depth of knowledge. He's like the Kurt Kuglinski of mushrooms.
Yeah. That may not mean a whole lot to you today, but that is the ultimate compliment that you can get from Josh.
Thank you so much, Josh. Yeah. That means a lot to me. Much love, brother.
That's right. Much love. Hey, we got to squeeze in another break. When we come back, we got one more segment ahead with more questions and more education with Jacob DeVecchio from Oklahoma Fungi. You're listening to the Outdoor Hour on 107.7 The Franchise.
Now, back to the Outdoor Hour with your host, Taylor Maples, and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside the Outdoor Hour. Final segment this week with Jacob DeVecchio from Oklahoma Fungi. I already have learned a ton. I know we've just got a few minutes left with you. One more time, where can people go on social media to make sure that they get everything that you have out there? You're obviously a wealth of knowledge and resources. I know you've got more classes coming up and all of that. If this has piqued somebody's interest, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can check my account out on Instagram. It's Oklahoma Fungi, Fungi. Same thing on Facebook, Patreon, YouTube. I highly recommend coming to the upcoming class this weekend. This is a How to Grow Mushrooms class at Organics OKC from 3 to 5 p.m. It's a free class. You don't have to register. Just show up. The next day is our third annual Morel Mushroom Education class. This is Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Marriott Botanical Gardens. This class, you do need to register, and we're very excited to be hosting the third annual class to be able to teach people the mushrooms you can find, the lookalikes, and some really delicious recipes to prepare them. Last but not least, in October, we're going to be having the second annual Oklahoma Mushroom Festival. This will be a two-day event on October 12th and 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to have 20 education classes, 10 workshops, and have over 100 vendors. So it's going to be a great time to learn about mushrooms, the cultivation aspect, the foraging aspect, how they can help us in food. It's going to be a great time, and I hope to see you there.
That's really cool. Before we dive in any deeper here with Jacob, at the top of the show, Josh, I was talking about this fly fishing trip I went on this weekend with my parents. And one of the things that my mom kept giving me a hard time for was all the new gear that I've got, because she caught fish and I didn't.
How rude.
I know. And she's like, "Yeah, that's a nice rod. Hey, that's a nice jacket. I like your, the fish pond fanny pack thing that I'm using now." Because remember, when I started coming to JD Adams, I was a vest guy.
You were, and I'm glad you overcame that.
I was still one of those old
school. The treatment worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Shout out to JD Adams and Company for getting me outfitted. I still need to learn to catch a fish, apparently. Maybe I can get with Steve or somebody that can teach me some better knots. But otherwise, man, you mentioned you've got some exciting stuff coming up. Can we tease that yet?
Yeah. I mean, I think...
like, can we? I don't want to get you in trouble yet.
Yeah, you're not. I'll say this. There is a very popular outdoor apparel brand that has never gone to the retailer, has always been direct to consumer, and we have been accepted into a pilot program for them as they look at better serving the people who are interested in their clothes. And so, yeah, we're bringing something in that I think, I'll say this, I see it worn a lot around Oklahoma City from a variety of different people.
I know we're going to get phone calls of people saying, is it this?
Yeah, I hope they do.
Yeah.
Hit us up on social. Tell us what you hope it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super stoked. I'm stoked that they respected what we've done in a short period of time at JD Adams and Company in 2 years to even be on that radar, mm-hmm. I think is super exciting. On that note, April 13th, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday is the second year anniversary party at JD Adams and Company.
Can I come redeem myself? Are you guys going to be doing fly fishing, like casting challenges?
I unfortunately will be in Texas, okay. So I'm not sure. I will be at my daughter's last cheerleading competition of the season.
I remember when you guys had your grand opening.
Yeah.
I embarrassed myself on a couple of casting challenges.
I almost erased your phone number from my phone. I don't even think I had it then.
So, anyways, shout out JD Adams and Company for always getting me outfitted and the know-how to go have a good time and be successful and be safe and just enjoy my time in the outdoors with a fly rod. JD Adams and Company is located on the northwest corner of 122nd and North May Avenue here in Oklahoma City. Go check them out. Tell them that we sent you over from the Outdoor Hour. I know people walk in every week over there, Josh, and mention the Outdoor Hour, so it's really cool. I love hearing that.
Yeah, man, this is a really great resource for us as a small business. From the giveaways to the ads that we get to, that we run mm-hmm. on Tyler Media. Yeah, a lot of people are aware of us because of this great local resource, and I think a lot of other businesses. If you think your customer base likes sports.
Yeah, this is a great place to reach them.
A good place to reach them, man.
And case in point, Jacob DeVecchio, that's our guest here today from Oklahoma Fungi, reached out to us after having seen us on social media. So appreciate you having you here, man. We just have about 5 minutes left with you here. What have we missed today? As somebody that is completely a novice in the mushrooms world, I'll be completely honest, almost went into it kind of jokingly. You know, this is something clearly that you're very serious about. It's something that is very serious, and there are so many practical applications beyond what, you know, people may think or may hear or may have prejudged, you know, the mushroom community and the mushroom opportunities. What would your message be to people like me that don't know enough to even have an opinion about it yet?
Yeah. So for people who are listening right now and like, why should I care about mushrooms?
Yeah.
And so typically the reason that I'll start with is it's, for me, it's about nutrient density. It's about our food. And so mushrooms are highly nutritious, and they also are really great. And the production of them is highly sustainable for agriculture. So they're grown on agriculture byproducts. And so a lot of the large scale mushroom cultivation is done using composting from the manure collected from some of the cattle and different types of livestock ranches and farms across the United States. And so you can actually cultivate these mushrooms with something that is not only not being used aside from compost, but it's creating a market, it's creating an economy, and it's really beneficial for people when they eat them. So specifically mushrooms like lion's mane, this is a mushroom that's known to have a neurogenesis-like properties. So it helps to rejuvenate the myelin and sheaths on our neurons in our brains. And so the compounds that do that are haricinones and arenosines, and these compounds are still vastly understudied, but there's millions of dollars being done in research to help understand how they can help with Alzheimer's and dementia. Because if This can be shown to help with memory and focus. Potentially, it could be applicable to these things.
And I know the myelin sheath is really important in multiple sclerosis. Like, there are probably several other things out there that, that science would be really, really impactful on.
Absolutely. And so not only is lion's mane delicious, it looks incredibly interesting and has no poisonous lookalikes. So it's a mushroom that here in Oklahoma, when you find it, it's a
there's
mushroom.
No question. There's no, it is what it is.
There's no question. And so when it's fresh, there's no question. And I have tons of pictures online showing you what it looks like. I even have videos showing you how to collect some of the tissue and to regrow this same mushroom indoors. Wow. So you can have access to that mushroom all year round and be consuming the beneficial properties of the mushroom.
Yeah, super rad. And I think, again, you said there's a lot of knowledge, like a lot of things unknown. But I'm going to take an anecdotal like approach to this. You know, one of the things that they're identifying with dementia and Alzheimer's in particular is an insulin issue. And I've always wondered with a lot of the other, because I think insulin issues are also can be related to inflammation, right? And if you look at the overall ability of mushrooms to regulate inflammation in the body as well as a variety of other things, but there's some commonalities there in mushrooms and some consistencies that they can do for you. And I've wondered if this isn't also a wonderful way to control insulin in our bodies by increasing the intake of some of these mushroom varieties. But again, not enough research has been done, but just like looking at its effects and then looking at what they're learning about dementia, again, going back to MS or some of these other disorders, these are all inflammation related disorders that are causing autoimmune responses in the body. And so when you can control the inflammation, usually you can control the disease. But the newest stuff with Alzheimer's and dementia is it being directly related to insulin, how the body is processing insulin.
Yeah. And kind of on that note, for the main mushrooms that people should be, if they're interested in how can medicinal, non-psychoactive mushrooms help me, the mushrooms that I highly recommend looking into are turkey tail, lion's mane, and cordyceps. And so turkey tail, we've talked about, you can forage this mushroom. You can also grow this mushroom. Lion's mane, you can.
Rashi? No?
No, I'm just the top three. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Rishi is a great,
yeah, Rishi.
Is a great a mushroom that you can consume, cultivate, and forage. But for me, majority of the research that I've read and come across for the compounds found in the fruiting bodies of the turkey tail mushrooms, of lion's mane, and of cordyceps. Now, there is a lot of anecdotal research and evidence coming out of Asia. For thousands of years, they've been using these mushrooms. And it's just kind of now that Western science is like, oh, yeah, this anecdotal evidence makes sense because we found this compound that's been shown to help reduce inflammation. And so majority of mushrooms, like Josh said, yes, they do help with inflammation across the board. That's what a majority of mushrooms help with. But there are some mushrooms like lion's mane that have these specific compounds that these other mushrooms do not. And so lion's mane is a great one for memory, focus, and it's something that I highly recommend if you're looking for an alternative to caffeine or something that keeps you stimulated. And it also is the same thing to be said for cordyceps. So this is a mushroom. If you've seen HBO, The Last of Us, it's the mushroom that infects humans. It's a sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
But it's not true. This is a mushroom that actually only infects insects. And so it takes hundreds of thousands of years for that to happen. Regardless, this mushroom and the extracts, with the compounds within it, have been shown to help with energy and libido.
Yep.
And so it's really fascinating that we're finding all these different mushrooms with all these different compounds that, much like with plants, you know, we can use plants to get these same effects, or we can use mushrooms. But there are some plants that have higher compounds of these, higher numbers of these compounds, and there are some mushrooms that have these higher compounds. So
that's fascinating.
That's why, well, we should be out there looking.
That's right. Well, I'll say this, man, you are a freaking wealth of knowledge. This is super educational. I'm sure I could attend hours and weeks and years of your classes and not have all the wealth of knowledge you do. But I'm going to sign up for one because I want to keep learning more. And I hope the listeners, you do the same. There's some great benefits to your life to engage with the mush love movement, man.
There you go. Jacob, thanks for being here, man.
It was a pleasure.
We always do this. We run up against time, and I got to get out so we can get you onto the road to OKC with Alex Starocco and Ryan Chapman next. Check out Oklahoma Fungi on social media to connect with Jacob DeVecchio. We're going to have you back on again sometime. I feel like we've just scratched the surface, and there's so much more for us to get into. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Spread the much love.
There you go. Much love. This is the Outdoor Hour. I am Taylor Maples at @T_Maples on social media. Joshua Wildman Stratton is @Against_Current on Instagram. You can find the show page on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok @Outdoor_Hour. If you're interested in coming on the show, advertising on the show, any other Tyler Media properties as well, send me an email to taylor.m@tylermedia.com, and I'll connect you with someone who can help. That's going to do it for the Outdoor Hour this week. On the other side of this break is the road to OKC with Ryan Chapman and Alex Starocco. We'll see you next week. Until then, go boldly. We'll see you outdoors.